Now, when you walk into the ring for the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Good evening, people. You're here with Blood River Radio, January the 26th, the year of our Lord, 2004. And listen, excuse me, the year of our Lord, 2019. We have two great guests tonight, two fabulous guests tonight. One lady by the name of Nellie. She was an eyewitness. I'm introducing her because she wanted me to. She was an eyewitness at Charlottesville, at the Battle of Charlottesville, that fateful day in August of 2017. I also have... We have a political prisoner in Charlottesville. His name is Daniel Borden. He was only 18 years old when he was arrested. We're going to have him on later tonight, hopefully in about a half hour. But right now, not only do we have Nellie, the eyewitness at Charlottesville, we have Mr. Rick Borden, retired, highly decorated Air Force major, served honorably United States Air Force. And so without further ado, I'm going to say a quick prayer, and then we're going to go straight to these people. Oh, Lord, thank you so much for protecting these two guests that we have tonight. Thank you for bringing them on. Thank you for giving us the ability to tell the truth here, Lord, while we still have a little bit of a representative republic. Please protect our political prisoners, Lord, who are in jail right now. And please protect our brothers and sisters of South Africa. We have dedicated this show, Lord. We have scrimped and scraped and mortgaged our future to get this show so we can protect all of our white brothers and sisters throughout the world. With that, without further ado, Lord, we're going to go to these guests. How are you doing tonight, Nellie?
I'm doing good.
It is so great to have you on. You know, you and I talked a couple of times. You've been on the show once before, and like I told Stam, you stole the show. And you were an eyewitness there in Charlottesville in August 12th of 2017 at the Battle of Charlottesville. You were there where the infamous fight in the garage took place that put all of our brothers and sisters, some people younger than my grandson, was 6 years younger than my grandson when he was arrested. Daniel Borden was 18 when he was arrested. Nellie, we also have Rick Borden. You said you were anxious to talk to him. Rick Borden is the father of Daniel Borden. He is a highly decorated military officer with the United States Air Force. How are you doing tonight, Rick? Rick, are you there? Okay, well, Rick's, we've lost Rick for a minute, but we're going to bring him right back. Nellie, we'll have Rick right back in just a minute. Tell us in your own words, what brought you to Charlottesville, Nellie? I know we're just a patriot lady. I know you had some friends that were up there. Why did you go to Charlottesville in the first place? Such a brave lady. Oh, by the way, Nellie, we've gotten Rick back. Rick, I'm glad to have you back, fella. We introduced you as the highly decorated major of the United States Air Force, and everybody now knows that your son Daniel is the patriot and a hero. We have Nellie here. Nellie was there in Charlottesville, and she saw the entire everything that happened right there. She was in the middle of the fray. She knows that your son was a hero. With that, I'm going to let Nellie introduce yourself to Rick, because you said you were anxious to talk to him.
Yes, I do also want to thank you for your brave son and your service to our country. And I'm
appreciate
sorry
it.
For what you're having to go through, too, like the good ones. It's horrible.
Well, thank Rick, you. Like I was telling you, appreciate that. I really do.
Yeah.
Rick, just, you know,
yes,
Nellie saw... Nellie saw the entire thing there, and I want her to tell you and the audience everything she saw in her own words from the very start of the Battle of Charlottesville to the end, till she was out of there. So, Nellie, if you will, go back in your memory and tell everybody what you saw to the best of your memory, as honest as you can be, and I know you're an honest lady, what you saw, who started the fight, why you were there, why the people were there, and what happened at the garage. Just and take a, oh, so go ahead and go, Nellie.
Okay, so when we got off the white vans that, you know, they were dropping us off in white vans there, and as we were walking, you know, it wasn't that bad at first. There wasn't all that many people. And the crowd got, you know, bigger and bigger the closer we got. People screaming at us to kill ourselves, spitting on us. And I thought it was funny because, you know, we love ourselves. We're there to fight for our ancestry, our heritage, our future, everything. And these people, well, you know, white people are wearing Black Lives Matter shirts. And I just, I'm like, you people hate yourselves. We don't hate ourselves. And, but we're condemned for loving who we are. And anyhow, we got in a crowd. There were two guys in front of me and two bigger guys like the two guys I was with. And I think it was the brothers who got pretty bloodied in there. I remember pulling on one of their shirts to tell them to please stop, you know, just keep going, everyone keep going, because this was bad. I knew it was bad. And some, I guess it was a Middle Eastern or something, I don't know what he was, but hit me, which I thought was nunchucks, but I really have no clue, hit me in the back shoulder. And I had a huge bruise for weeks after that. It was horrible. But I was so, like, everything was so incoherent there, the crazy around us, that, and then the two guys I was with actually lost it when I got hit. And then they went, you know, to fight that guy, but it all was just chaos. I mean, the fighting just, and to be there with people you care about watching, I can't even explain how I felt. I was in such terror in my mind. There was no control. There was no, there was, all I kept thinking of was, we're probably going to die right here. This is it. Because these people are just loons who wanted us dead. They wanted us dead. And, but I, somehow we just, I don't know, somehow the crowd just kind of diversed and we were able to get up behind the shield wall and, not without, there were still people attacking us, but it wasn't as a huge, like hundreds of people surrounding you. It was, but we get behind the shield wall. Oh, one of the guys I was with, when I went to help him off the ground, I thought he had a gallon of paint poured on him. Like, it just looked like someone dumped paint on him. And they had sprayed that much pepper spray in his face. I don't know what the heck they were shooting out. And so he couldn't see for like 30 minutes. And I find this out later. Like, I didn't even know what was on him. And sadly, in the video, I'm embarrassed because I actually had a bottle of water in my hand, but I was so incoherent from it all. I didn't think to shoot him in the face with water, you know, to get it off of him. So I do feel silly on that one. But we get behind the shield wall, and your son, Borden, and Jacob and them, and the guy, one of the guys I was with, you know, they couldn't leave that shield wall. As much as I was begging the guy I was with, the police, come on, you know, I look back, I see he could not leave the other guys. And I am so proud to see those young men stand together like that. They were willing to die for each other. The pride I have in them, it's just very powerful feeling.
Well, Nellie, we've got the first break coming up. Dear, I hear the music. You just about got me back in tears again. People, please don't leave. Come back and listen to Nellie and Rick. We'll be right back after this break.
As you all know, Roe versus Wade has resulted in some of the most permissive abortion laws anywhere in the world. For example, in the United States, it's one of only seven countries to allow elective late-term abortions, along with China, North Korea, and others. Right now, in a number of states, the laws allow a baby to be born from his or her mother's womb in the ninth month. It is wrong. It has to change. Americans are more and more pro-life. You see that all the time. In fact, only 12% of Americans support abortion on demand at any time. Under my administration, we will always defend the very first right in the Declaration of Independence, and that is the right to life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Back, people, after the first break, the guest we have on tonight is absolutely making my day. This Nellie, she is just so courageous. She has more guts than just 95% of the people I know. She's come back at risk her own personal safety to tell her story. Now, Nellie, if you will, dear, get back to your story. Finish up your story, and before we go to Mr. Rick, and if you will, tell also in your story, let us know what you saw about the two guys. You know, go ahead.
So when we were up at the park, the police were, I even was hysterical yelling at the police to help us. I couldn't understand why they were standing down. And they were telling us to leave the park. And I lost one of my guys that I was with. And I really became chaotic in my head. Like I thought, all I could think of was those crazies out there just ripping him from limb to limb. And I'm begging the other guy to come on and please help me find the other one. And he couldn't just walk away from the shield wall. You just couldn't leave it. And the video proves that, you know, we just kept getting inched back from these. And the cops standing there allowing these other human beings to attack us like that and keep pushing us backwards. And eventually, you know, we had no choice, you know, but to go out the steps. And that is when I froze up. Because I seen the guys in front of me getting hit and pepper sprayed, and that's all on video. Everything's on video, so I'm very confused on how any of us are being criminalized for this. And I remember freezing, and I stuck my hand out like I could, like, tell Antifa and PLN to stop, like, but that was really going to do something. But I don't know. But Jacob came down. That's when Jacob Goodwin comes down and just takes his two shields and wraps me in his shields and forces me along and kept me from getting hit and sprayed. And that gauntlet march, I mean, how horrific to walk like in a parade gauntlet, I guess is what people call it, and thinking any second you're about to die. Any second you're going to die. And these people, the things that they were saying, it was unreal. It almost felt like this show called Walking Dead, which I stopped watching. It became so degenerate. But it was like zombies all around you kind of thing. It was very horrifying. And to know people I cared about was out on them streets, too, you know, because we were separated. And I don't know. we ended up having to go back because we're the group, I guess, that I was with. We had to go back that way towards our vehicles. But most of us didn't even know where we were at. We didn't even know what to do. The groups kept getting smaller and smaller, and we kept getting divided by it. Everyone kept getting divided. And but BLM and Antifa, they stayed the majority. And to walk back through that monstrous area and then the garage fight. And I remember walking past the Cruz. I remember walking past him. And I had pepper spray on me, so it was hot. I was burning from the pepper spray, but I had sunglasses and a baseball cap on, so it didn't get in my eyes, thank God. And but the heat of the day, so many of us had pepper spray on us, and I was thinking, why is he standing there? And you know, I guess because of the heat, he had to rest. And then that's when the guys, the heroes of Charlottesville, turns around to go save Cruz like they did. And you'll see me in videos. I'm in there hysterical, screaming at one of the guys. I was hysterical.
Nellie, what did you tell the audience what you saw about Mr. Cruz and who came to his aid?
Cruz, apparently, the BLM, BLM and all the video shows it, how they were verbally and physically assaulting our guys. I somehow was up towards the front. But I've seen all the video, and I didn't know that that was going on behind us. And one of my guys that I was with was back there, and I cry almost every time because I'm thinking, oh my God, they could have snatched any one of those guys and just tore them to pieces. We were outnumbered. And but we kept marching. Everyone kept marching. We all knew we had to stay on our feet and get out of there. But they taunted and taunted and taunted us, and thank God our guys kept going. Until Cruz got hit.
Nellie, you want to hold up just a second? I'm going to go back to I'm going to go back to Rick and let Rick respond to what you said. So stay right where you are. Rick, what do you think about that fella? Any thoughts on that?
Well, what Nellie ran into, she ran into a professionally trained, very well armed, and very well financed leftist terrorist organization. These people, they knew what they were doing. They were ready. The Charlottesville police, you know, in the weeks that led up to that, tried to ascertain whether they were going to bring violence. The Charlottesville police were told, not only get out of the room, don't ever come back unless you expect to be sued. So all the Homeland Security in Virginia knew about how violent these people are. All the signs and signals were there. What Nellie ran into was this was a state-sanctioned, basically a state-sanctioned, state-sponsored riot. I mean, it's anybody can look at the video evidence frame by frame, and I have every square inch of those videos, and then read the former Attorney General Tim Heapy's after-action report. He gives away the whole blueprint. I mean, if you read that report and really studied it in its entirety, people would be flabbergasted. I mean, they would be stunned. He stops just short of saying this was a state ordered stand down. Okay. Now that's why the socialist, isn't it funny? The socialist hired a socialist to clear the socialist. But when the socialist had an ounce of integrity and printed a report, the socialist didn't like it. And so what they did is they took Tim Heapy's report and they threw it in the men's waste can down at the bathroom and said, you can find it down there. And that's indicative of how hypocritical these people really are. This is the lies the socialist left hides behind. So, you know, anybody could see on those videos. I asked an FBI agent, you know, when they were extraditing those guys from California, I didn't know much about those guys, but I'm watching the videos. I'm not seeing anything where anybody that's in the protest is initiating or instigating any violence. And I asked this FBI guy, where are you coming by this information? Because I've seen one photo of one of these guys, and there's three Antifa people around him. It doesn't exactly look like he's initiating anything. That doesn't make any sense. And the agent just got quiet, and it was like the guy, it was like you were talking to a wall. It was very eerie, very strange, and it's indicative of that organization and what's happened over there on that end of it. So, yeah, Nellie.
Rich, I have a question.
Go ahead.
I have a quick question, Rich. I would like to know, why in the hell was the FBI even there in the state when it was a state venue? It was a state thing. There was no federal crime being committed in Charlottesville. Why were the feds even there? You're smarter than I am. You don't get to be a major in the Air Force. But
exactly.
We're just about out of time before the. If you can answer that question before we go to the break, take off, Rick.
Well, you know what? The key was given to the whole nation by one Peter Strzok, former counterintelligence chief of the FBI. You'll recall he was hauled in front of a Senate investigative committee about his BlackBerry tweets, where he was telling his lover friend that he was going to derail Trump and he was going to basically nothing will happen to Hillary. And what it is Rudy Giuliani saw this, and we're all mortified by this man's smirking commentary, his arrogance, saying that all Southern Virginians were basically white trash, toothless Walmart shoppers. Well, there's your socialist left. And Giuliani said, how many more of like him might be out there? Well, guess what? I've got the answer for you. Plenty. They got involved. You still there?
Rich, yes, Rich, we got to go. I was letting you roll, fella. I didn't want to interrupt you. We're coming to a break now. I don't know if you can hear the music or not, but I cannot wait to get across this break and get back to this interview. Thank you, Anelli and Rich. Keep hanging there.
We'll be right back
after this break, people.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Rick Vincent.
President Trump agrees to reopen the government without allocating money for the border wall. Madison Jaciato, a Trump 2020 board member, told CNN the president is still standing firm on the need for a border wall.
Many Democrats have acknowledged now that part of a border security plan for them would be increased barriers, but these increased barriers need to be at places of vulnerability, and that's why we have Homeland Security experts coming in to help with these negotiations in a bipartisan committee.
President Trump says he hasn't conceded anything by agreeing to reopen the government for 3 weeks, but did it for the government employees who weren't being paid. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo says scenes of misery have become the norm in Nicolas Maduro's Venezuela.
Millions of children are suffering from malnutrition and starvation thanks to a socialist experiment that caused the economy to collapse.
Pompeo is calling on the international community to support Venezuelan's opposition leader. You're listening to USA Radio News.
This is a national health alert from the healthcare hotline. Are you on Medicare and or have private insurance and suffer from back pain? MD Topical has a solution for you. Today, you can qualify to receive a pain-relieving treatment, such as a comfortable back brace or a customized pain treatment at little or no cost. Call MD Topical toll-free now, 888-998-7225. It just takes a couple of minutes to qualify for these amazing treatments that have helped thousands of people with severe pain. Your personalized pain treatment will be delivered directly to your door. Call MD Topical toll-free, 888-998-7225, 888-998-7225, or go to mdtopical.com and get started on your road to a pain-free life. Call MD Topical toll-free, 888-998-7225, or go to mdtopical.com.
Roger Stone says he has been falsely charged with lying to investigators over his role in the leaked DNC emails from WikiLeaks that occurred during the 2016 presidential election. Speaking outside the courthouse over the shouts of protesters, Stone said he will continue to be honest in any testimony or interviews moving forward.
I intend to tell the truth. I have told the truth through this entire proceeding. And I will prove that in a court of law.
Special Counsel Robert Mueller charged the former Trump campaign advisor with 7 felonies. The measles outbreak is spreading, as USA's Wendy King explains.
In Oregon State, health officials say a case of the measles has been confirmed in the Portland area. Dr. Jennifer Vines with the Portland Health Department.
When diseases become real, I think the parents who maybe were putting off vaccines or just hadn't really made a decision, I think it gets their attention. And I think we do sometimes see a bump in vaccination after an outbreak like this, so that's certainly my hope.
Nearby, in Washington State, there's 30 confirmed cases since the beginning of the year. I'm Wendy King.
This is USA Radio News.
Being this is a 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
Well, folks, you can't beat luck, that's for sure. I don't believe in luck. I believe in making your own luck. But we're going right back to our guest. We have the one and only Daniel Borden on the line now, people. I'm trying to maintain my composure. We have Daniel Borden. He was 18 years old when he was arrested in Charlottesville. He's a hero, hero. We all know, everybody that's listening to us, we know who he is. Now, Nellie, I want to go back to you, dear, and I want you to say hello. Introduce yourself to Daniel and tell him what you think of him. That you told me you thought he was a hero. I want you to introduce you to Daniel. Daniel, I want to introduce you to Nellie. Go ahead, Nellie, say hello to Daniel.
Hi, Daniel. I'm so sorry what you're having to go through. Just know that there's so many of us out there rooting you guys on. This is really hard. I'm just so sorry.
But hey, thank you. I appreciate that so much. And it's all right. I mean, it's an emotional topic. I mean, this is an emotional time in the history of our people and our country. And I appreciate that really from the bottom of my heart. You know, I'm sitting in my cell right now and, to hear people who support me and who are thinking about me, it makes a world of difference, I'll tell you what.
Yeah, very much you do, very much. You and Jacob and, oh, yes, you guys are very, yeah. It's an honor to talk to you, too. So.
Thank you. I appreciate that, really. And I'm glad to be talking to you, too. I mean, to finally be out there and, you know, be able to get in contact with the people, you know, who've been thinking about me, you know, after my case has ended, and to get out there and talk about this, bring it out to the public, it means a lot to me. But I appreciate that, really. Thank you.
Thank you.
And Nellie, I guess we'll let you go now, dear. Nellie, thank you so much for coming on tonight. You don't worry, you'll be back on Blood River Radio as long as we have a Blood River Radio. Thank you so much. And people, okay. I'd like to remind you one more time that Daniel Borden is calling in from the gulag. He's a prisoner in the prison system of Virginia for being a hero for defending himself and defending other people's lives. Daniel, I'll go back to you. Your dad's on the line tonight. Rick, your dad, Rick, is on the line, and I'm turning the show over to you, Daniel. How are you doing up there tonight, son?
I'm doing all right, Mr. Miller. I'm just happy to be on the radio, and I can't tell you how proud I am to finally be, symbolically standing side by side with my dad, and be able to talk about this great injustice that not just happened to me, that happened to so many people, you know, Jacob, Ramos, Richard Preston, all of us, and then the incredible denial of our rights. I mean, this doesn't happen every day in America so openly and obvious, and we need to address it. And I really want my fellow Americans to stand by me the way I feel that I stand by them. So I'm trying to bring attention to this.
Rick?
Yes, sir.
Respond to that. Respond back to your son, Rick.
Well, Dan knows very well how proud I am of him. A father couldn't be more proud of his son. He stood up. He stood up for those that were in need on that day. And at his sentencing hearing, you know, he was denied a fair trial in that town. They weren't going to move his venue. Dan knew what he was up against. You know, we all knew what he was up against. That he was, you know, so a strategy was undertaken by Dan, myself, and his attorney, that we would have to wait until the sentencing hearing and then try to get in as many blows as we could in the minimal amount. We knew that the prosecutors, the socialist prosecutors and judge, we knew they would try to shut us down. So we had to go for strategic questioning, and the goal was to push them into a corner and essentially force them to admit that they had been lying and exonerating DeAndre Harris. They bent evidence into six ways of a pretzel to in order to get that guy off the hook, and also Corey Long. So I made it known that I know what you did. Okay? I know what you did. The guy took aim. He didn't have his back turned. He saw Corey Long pulling Harold Cruz towards that garage. He was eyeballing him the whole time. And just like I taught Dan, keep your eye on the ball, son. And that man took aim and tried to hit that man inside. Harold Cruz ducked at the last second. If he hadn't done that, he would have been gravely injured. He'd have been gravely injured. I have a close-up video that I was never showed. I was never allowed to show that. And it came by my hands through a guy out in California that found it, who was helping me out. And it is unbelievable. You turn the volume up on this. There was even people standing in front of the garage that just recoiled in horror. They just couldn't believe it. And then that fight spilled into the garage, and you got my son on the other end of the line. They had been contending all along that Dan was acting in concert with you know, Mike and Jacob, and all three of the guys were acting independently on their own to a situation that was a clear assault. So, and then there was the fight swung into the confines of the garage. Well, Dan came in way down upwind, and then he turns around and comes around a brick stanchion, and he sees eight guys going at it, people yelling and screaming, and here's Alex Heyer laying flat, sprawled out on the island, blood all over his face. They worked him over. So, you know, I made it known that I have this evidence, and I showed a picture to the judge, and he went, oh, boy, you know, and look what he's got. And I said, it got a whole lot more. Let's rock, man. Let's talk about it. I dared those prosecutors to ask me questions, but they wouldn't.
I'm getting ready to go back to your son. I'm just going to interject one thing. Miss Tamara Goodwin, the mother of Jacob Goodwin, I know you know her. She said that she told me that the people, the court, the socialist, tyrannical government there had actually been, they've screwed with the evidence, with the video, the evidence in the courtroom. They've doctored that. Now, with that, I'm going to go to Daniel. Daniel, respond back to your dad's son. I'd like to say, Daniel, you're like the son to me. I have a grandson that's about 6 years older than you. He's 4 years older than you. I feel like you're my grandson. I really do. Go back, Dan. Go back to your dad. It's so emotional.
Yeah, I mean, to be in Charlottesville on that day was something, you know, I had never experienced before, to see my fellow Americans just having at each other, you know, without discretion, and then to see someone just get hit in the head like that. When I turned and saw Mr. Cruz get hit in the head, you know, without even really controlling my body, you know, I took up action. I felt that I needed to do something to help these guys. And when I ran into that garage, I came off that concrete pillar, and to see who turned out to be Mr. Heyer, just getting pummeled, laying face down on the ground. It was a sight to see, and you know, and I want to run towards not that I'm looking for a fight, but I run towards conflict and the fact that I was trying to help him. You know, I wasn't out there looking for violence. If I had, I would have been out there all day in those streets brawling. But I wasn't. I just came simply stand up for my culture, my identity, and my history. And they tried to attack us. And, you know, and Deion Harris, he hit this old man in the head with a mag light while his buddy is trying to steal his flag. I mean, in a commission of a felony theft. I mean, and nobody cares. I mean, they truly act as if we were there looking for violence, pulled this guy out of a library, and beat him. And it's just not the case. I believe NPR said that their story was it all started with a man on the ground, and that could not be farther from the truth. I mean, the Virginia State Police pushed us into the streets when they knew fights were inevitable. These violent cultural Marxists followed us for streets, for, you know, like five or six city street blocks, and then they attacked someone. And then when we defend ourselves, or when I go to the aid of, you know, men who are much older than me or, you know, in need of help, you know, it doesn't even matter. These guys needed help. Someone needed to do something, and I decided to be that person, and then they're going to throw me in prison for it. It shocked me. I never knew that America worked like that. I never knew that the courts would actively be biased just because of what they think or perceive me to be. It shocked me to the bone. I'll tell you what.
Daniel, I'm so proud of you. I'm actually quivering, son. I'm so, so proud of you. I could not imagine. I'd like to remind the audience again, this brave, brave man, young man, Daniel. Daniel, how old are you, son?
I'm 20 now, and I got locked up when I was 18 years old.
Listen, this is an 18-year-old man who's been locked up in prison for defending the rights of these stinking people. I try to get them to help us on this radio station. I try to get them to come to rallies, but they're so afraid. We have these guys old enough to be Daniel's grandfather, and they were sat on their butt. They won't send $5 into Liberty News. They won't send $5 to Daniel. They won't lift their finger because they're too damn comfortable. They're a bunch of normies. Now, I'm going to shut up. I'm so proud of you, Daniel. My God, I'm so proud of you. And I know you're not my real grandson. I'm not your real dad. But I think I'm about as proud as you are as your dad is. Rick, back to you. Well, we're going to a break right now. When we come back, I'm going to go back to Rick and let Rick respond to what his son just said. People, if I quit crying, we'll come back in just a few minutes after this break.
Kosher. Certified. Put the two words together to get co-certified, which is spelled with an S-E-H instead of just S-H. It's the right way to spell this, the German way, and it made it easier to trademark. Now, did I tell you that the letters S-C-H still make the sh sound, as in all those American food producers saying, shh, let's keep it really quiet that our product is kosher certified. Think about it. Nearly one century of kosher certification, and hardly anyone outside exclusive observers knows that most packaged food and kitchen products are literally certified by religious intermediaries. Well, because you, consumer, are indirectly paying for this. The Kosher Certified app is here to make kosher certification awareness an inclusive matter for people of all faiths and identities, and it even boasts a unique database of products not kosher certified. We call that NKC. Start meaning it. It's fun. NKC, not kosher certified. Now, to confuse our audience even more, we put a question mark at the end of our name, and that really cinched our trademark approval. It relates to the website where you can begin your new shopping behavior, thekosherquestion.com.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's LibertyNewsRadio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Okay, folks, we're back. I'm going to go right back to Rick. Rick, I have a question, and I have a statement of the question. Rick, you are a highly decorated combat veteran. You've put your life on the line for this country. I mean, you've been in harm's way. How does it feel to go back home from the hells of war? And I can tell you, I know a thing or two about war myself. How does it feel to come back to this country and see how this country has treated your son, your only son, And what can we do about it? How can we change it? Did us in your own words before we go back to Daniel, because he's running out of time.
Well, you know what? It's completely disappointing. It's mind blowing, actually. It's mind blowing. You come home and you know, I made a point when I was in college. I was an honor student. I actually learned under one of the most famous communist professors there ever was that nobody ever heard of. And what I did is, it's like I've taught Dan to understand how to beat my enemy is to learn him, understand him. And I did that very well. So I knew what sort of a menace these socialists are. And so I said, boy, I'm joining the cause here. And that was back during, you know, the Reagan buildup and everything. When I went to the storm, you know, I think it was 25 missions. I think I'm the only one alive that flew that many today. I've lost so many of my friends in aviation accidents. But, you know, it's unbelievable when I sit in a courtroom and I'm looking at this judge and I'm looking at these prosecutors and I'm like, you know what? I gave you people the right. I put my genitals out on the line for you so people of every type of entity and affiliation could speak their mind without being clubbed in the head. That's what I stand for. I stand for the Constitution, okay? It doesn't, you can't use that for toilet paper. That's just not the way it works. But that's what you've done. And in trying to prosecute my son while letting all these other people go, these socialists, what sort of a message are you sending at the end of the day? What is it? What you're doing is you're condoning socialist violence. That's all it is.
And Rick,
you can't sugarcoat
and Rick, I'd like,
you can't sweep it under the rug.
Rick, tell them, and this is how they responded. Tell them about what the FBI did to you, Rick, a retired A combat decorated fighter pilot who risked his life. How did the FBI treat you? Did they bring chocolate cake to your house? Tell them about that, Rick, before we go back to Daniel.
Without even, what happened was, is like everything the socialist media does today, they took the incident in the garage and they edited it and they sent out, it was a guy named Zach Roberts and Greg Palast. They were two socialist photojournalists, and what they did, And these idiots were dumb enough to videotape themselves on YouTube doing it. They called the FBI, claimed there was a hate crime and all this. Next thing I know, you know, the FBI pays a visit to my house. Dan was down in southern Indiana with his mother. Then they sit there and a warrant was issued for Dan's arrest. And he peacefully surrendered down in Cincinnati. Me and his mother went down there with an attorney friend of his mom's. A couple days later, the FBI show up at my house with a warrant, sack my home, 8 of them. I just moved into this rental house, and here I've got FBI trucks in my front yard. My neighbors are all coming out here in the street thinking I'm some sort of a drug dealer, and I've got FBI agents all coming in my house. They threw me and my common-in-law, my Cherokee Indian common-in-law wife, out on the street, made a stand out there. What did they confiscate? What did they find after all that? A Confederate flag necklace that wasn't even Dan's. Then one of them comes out of the house. He's an ex-Marine. He's kicking in the dirt in front of the house, and I could overhear everything he's saying to his boss. He goes, the guy's a stinking decorated combat pilot. What the heck are we doing here? They're folks, they're using they came in my house and invaded my privacy, and they didn't even have the facts of the case. They simply went on what two socialist photojournalists told them, what they told their version of things, not what really happened. And when that video came out, I knew everything Dan was telling me was the truth. And then when that video came out, finally, a couple of days, about a week after the FBI sacked my house, I called that FBI agent in charge back. I'll tell you right now,
we're going to go back
about
to Dan.
A 23-minute one-sided conversation.
We've got to go back to Dan. He's running out of time. You know, he's calling from prison. Dan, go back to you. Respond to your dad, son. And listen, before you run out of time, let us know what it's like being in prison. How are they treating you there?
Well, to be honest, I'll never be able to prove it one way or another, but, you know, they don't treat us too good. you know, when I first got here, they put all the rally guys together and they put us in the same block as the pedophiles and child molesters, sort of as their way of saying, you know, this is what you are to us. And, you know, and then throughout the years, they've just done, they've acted really weird. And here lately, me being one of the last guys left, they put me in the hole without any reason as to why, a disciplinary block. Then I'm locked up 24 hours a day, no window, and the lights are on 24 hours. So, you know, I'm not complaining, but I think it was their way of basically saying, you know, cobbing their nose at me. But as to my dad, you know, one, I can never be more proud to be anyone's son. I am, you know, my dad literally is my inspiration, and he's made me the man that I am today. And I'm just so happy that he's on my side and we can stand together. But for the FBI, you know, from what I've heard is I never saw an American in a lens that I where law enforcement or government agencies could actively be biased upon somebody's political opinion. I was ignorant to that, and to see that, and to see in law enforcement, when I've been at their support, you know, blue lives do matter to me. But to see them actively take sides, it shocked me, and it just totally destroyed my image of what I thought my country was and what I thought, you know, I was standing for. And it's really disappointed me, but you know, it's also inspired me, because now I see, you know, where the problems are at. You know, I've seen that the Marxists and the socialists have taken control of these government entities and using them for political intimidation, and we got to stand together.
Two questions, Dan. First of all, I'm going to ask you, what can we do for you? What can Liberty News, what can Blood River Radio do for you? And secondly, how much time do you have to serve before you are eligible for parole?
I was sentenced to 3 years, 10 months. I have 16 months in, so I think I have like a year, 9 months left, or maybe a little bit more. I'm not exactly sure. But what Red River Radio can do for me, just spread the word. You know, I'm not asking for handouts. I'm not asking for you to buy me books. I'm not asking that you go, you know, out and do this. But really, just spread the word and go out. And, you know, our biggest ally in this thing is populism. You have to get out, talk to our neighbors, you know, talk to these about problems that we're all having. And you have to take it upon yourself to answer this call of duty, really, that it is. We can still do this. We can take back our country, but you have to take it upon yourself to, you know, take action.
How can people send money, for instance, to put on to your, I know you have a telephone account in prison. Tell the people what they can do to send money to your telephone account or any kind of prison account you've got. I don't know. Tell us right quick, like Daniel.
If you really feel the need to, I'm pretty sure you can go to jailatm.com and put money on my account. My name's Daniel Borden, and my inmate number is 631461, Albemarle County Regional Jail, Charlottesville, Virginia. Other than that, I'm not really too sure the exact of, you know, how to put money on my account.
We'll get that information from your dad, because I have his number, but go ahead. Have you seen Jacob Goodwin? He's at another prison right now. Do you think you might be able to, are they going to send you to the same prison they sent Jacob, or are you familiar, or do you know about that?
I am not sure, but I'll say this of Jacob Goodwin. He is I consider him one of my best friends. We were locked up here together for a little over a year, and I got to say, he's one of the best guys that I know, and his family are some of the best people that you'll meet ever. They're nice, they're truthful, and they're going to tell you how it is, and I consider Jacob one of my best friends.
And, I'll tell you what, I consider you one of the best people I've seen. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead. Rick, what do you have to say about that? Respond back to your son, Rick.
Well, Dan said it very eloquently. I mean, he's been reading quite a bit of there in jail, and and his speech reflects it. So, it's like I said before, you know, there's just not words that can describe how proud I am of him. You know, a father could not ask for more of a son. And, that was Dan's rally. He was standing up for the poor sharecropper and the shop workers from the valley who went to Antietam Creek and Gettysburg and die, because, you know, he understands that it's the poor that fight the wars. Okay?
Well, Rick
and
Dan,
yes, sir.
We've come to the end of the hour. I've heard the music. I sure hate to let y'all go. Y'all can break bread in my house anytime. I'm so proud of both of you, man. I have no words to tell you how proud I am. I'm barely able to talk. I'm so emotional about this. Thank God. Thank y'all so much for being on the show. Rick, I'll be getting back in touch with you, Rick, and I'll be getting in touch with Daniel, too, when I can. Well, people, thank you so much for tuning in. I'm going to let you go now. We're going to the second hour. I'm going to have to go.